This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Amen. God, I think that you're probably like me. We do so many things in life out of habit. You know, I can get in my car to drive to church to work in the morning, and 20 minutes later, I'm at the church, but I have no notion of how I got there, you know. I just, I'm here, you know. I have no, why? Because I've been doing the driving out of habit. That is, you know, I disengage my brain, and there, 20 minutes later, I'm at church. And we do a lot of things by habit, from brushing our teeth to eating, whatever it would be. And we don't even think about what we're doing. Now, sometimes that's good. You know, you're brushing your teeth. You don't have to think about it. So you can think about other important things, like you need to lose 10 pounds, something like that. I mean, you know, you can double task a little bit, you know. Other times, however, doing things out of habit isn't all that good. For example, you put a half load of clothes in the washer, but you put a full portion of detergent. Why? It's out of habit. Or the kids are, the last child has just left for college, but you still make a, you know, teenage size appetite, pot of chili. Why? It's just out of habit. That's the way you've always done it. And so you begin to operate without thinking about it. So the bottom line is that, you know, habits are okay, but when you don't give thought, at least sometimes, to habitual things, once in a while, they can become unproductive. And that's true even when it comes to going to church and being involved in a church body. All across America this morning, millions of people are going to be attending some church in their community. And some of those who will attend this weekend will do it without much thought. They'll give it very little thought about why they're going, and they won't get a whole lot out of it. So once in a while, what you and I have to do is to go back and answer the question, why should I be involved in the church? Because I don't know if you noticed, there are a lot of things you can do outside of involvement in the church. There are a lot of things that you can be involved in. And even this morning, you know, you could be, you know, getting up leisurely, preparing for the Mariners game or whatever, you'd want to do. Why would you be here? Well, the answer to that question is so relevant that it keeps church from becoming just a habit. And it's something that every one of us want to continue again. Why am I going to be involved in church this year? Oh, yeah, here are the reasons. And so this weekend, we're going to answer the question, why do church? Do you know that Jesus thought that the church was pretty important? Look what he says to Peter in Matthew 16. He says this, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." He said, Jesus said, "Man, I'm going to build the church, and I'm going to start with you, Peter. And even though Satan is going to try to divert God's people and sow seeds of disunity, and even though Satan will work overtime to have a train wreck on this thing, no, it's my church. And I am going to build my church." That's how important it is to him. He felt so strongly about it. Now, why then does God feel so strongly about the church? Well, it has to do with the purposes that he has created the church for. God has some outstanding, just amazing purposes, things he wants to accomplish for the church, through the church, and in the church. And every purpose then provides a reason for you and me to be involved in the church. Not just to attend on a weekend, but to be involved in God's church. So that's what I want to talk about, five reasons that you and I need to be involved in the church. And I want to just, all we're doing today is going back and remembering, oh yeah, why am I involved again? Oh yeah, here it is. Because I want this to be a great year at Lighthouse. And as you remember this, it can become a great year. You know the first reason to be involved in church? The church helps believers worship God. It's the first purpose of the church. There, you know, this is the number one priority of our church because it's the number one priority for our lives. Look what it says in Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. So to love God is the greatest commandment, the most important thing you and I do. We were created to express love to God. As a matter of fact, that's the definition of worship, the simplest definition, really, of worship, expressing love to God. Now, you've got to know something about worship. There are two principles about worship that you need to be aware of. The first of all is this, that worship is meant to be continual. And what I mean by that is that everything that you and I do with the motive of expressing love to God is an act of worship. How else, by the way, could we even obey Psalm 105:4? Look what it says. Worship Him continually. It doesn't mean that you have to be in church 24/7. It doesn't mean that somehow you have to be on your knees 24/7. Not at all. It's just saying that every activity that you do can be transformed into an act of worship when we do it with a motive to express love and praise to God. So, for example, that's the motive. When we express love to our spouse and we're doing it out of love for God, it's an act of worship. When we serve somebody in kindness to them, man, that when we do it out of that motive, man, we're expressing an act of worship. When we witness to our coworker out of love for God, it's an act of worship. So, in fact, you know what it says in Romans 12? Many of us have memorized Romans 12, 1 through 3, but we forget what it means. Look what it says. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what this is saying? Basically, it's saying worship is to be continual. When your life pleases God, you are worshiping. It is that act then of pleasing God becomes a spiritual act of worship. And so when you've got a lifestyle of pleasing God, man, all through the day, you are doing things that express worship and love to God. So yes, it is true, and this is, you know, it is true that it's possible to worship God without actually being in church, okay? Now, some of you might want to take advantage of that, okay? But here's the problem. Some of you are going, okay, well, since everything is worship, it's really doesn't matter whether I'm in church. Man, I can love God out on the ski slopes and ski for Jesus, you know. I can love Jesus watching reruns of The Office. It doesn't matter, man, because if you're doing it just with, hey, I love you, God, it's okay. Well, that ignores the second principle of worship, okay? First principle is worship is continual, but the second principle is this, that worship is to be intentional. Over and over again, the Bible says, man, here's how you worship. Here's when you can worship. Here's where you can worship. Over and over again, the Psalms make it clear that worship is intentional. The psalmist says over and over again, I will worship, I will praise. What is it saying? Hey, it's something I must choose, something I'm intentional about. So it's not to be haphazard. You and I, this is the bottom line, you and I need to make a time to worship on purpose. And that's one of the reasons that the church convenes and has a service. There's power in coming together as a church and being together and then expressing love to God. Much of the book of Psalms is all about group worship. In fact, Psalm 34 says this, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And if you look to the book of Psalms, that happens over and over again. This idea that we come together as a body, though everyone who loves God and worship Him. And you know that from the earliest days of the church, what happened in those early days? Well, from the first days of the church, they were meeting to worship. Look what it says in Acts 2. Day after day, they met as a group. What were they doing? They were praising God. So God asks us to meet together, to praise Him, and to express love to Him. And it's really one of the principles from the Ten Commandments. One of the principles that you find in the Ten Commandments is this. God's saying, every 7 days, come together to refocus on me. And if you think about it, that makes excellent sense. Do you need to refocus in life? I want you to know that I do, you know, because life goes full, you know, it is racing past me. And every 7 days, man, to come back and intentionally refocus on God and intentionally express love to Him. And if we don't watch it, guys, if we don't watch it, life revolves around us. If we don't watch it, we can become totally self-centered. How many would you agree with that? Yeah, I think all of us know that if we don't watch it, life becomes totally self-centered. And it can happen in all kinds of different ways. You know, someone cuts you off in traffic and you say, man, what a jerk, he cut me off in traffic. I can't believe, who does he think he is? But then if we cut somebody off in traffic and he gives us a rude gesture, what do we say? Hey, man, I got places to go here. I mean, come on. You know, what are you talking about? You know, well, it's all about me. And that's what happens in our lives. It's easy to center on ourselves. And God knows this tendency in our lives to lose our focus, to concentrate on ourselves. And so the church operates not just on the services, because we express worship at other times, but these times. Times just like today are times to refocus on God and express love to Him. Now, it's true that even in a worship service, we can be self-centered. I mean, that's true. I mean, you could come into a worship service and start criticizing and say, oh, man, it's too loud or it's too soft or, man, the worship, the background for the worship slides just needs some help. Or you know, I mean, you can be self, it's all, in other words, considering what's happening on how it affects you. So you can be self-centered even in worship, but guess what? The question to ask in a worship service is now is not, how is it? The question to ask in a worship service is, how am I? How am I doing, God? You know, I've come to express love to you and to say, you know, it's not about me. It's about that expression of love to God as a body. So I want you know that deep in your hearts, every love relationship takes intentional expressions of love, does it not? If you're going to maintain a love relationship with someone on the planet here, it's going to take intentional expressions of love. Let's think about this by asking how you might express love to your wife. Now, you can also turn this around to your husband, but since I'm a man, I'm going to say, how would you express love to your wife? Well, you might do thoughtful acts of kindness for her. You might mow the lawn. And man, she'll come out and say, oh, that lawn looks great. And you're going, yeah, I did it for you. And you might bring her a cup of coffee in the morning. You might, you know, on Mother's Day, you have, you know, it's breakfast in bed. You know, there's so many great ways you express love to her just by what you do. But what would happen if you said to her, you know, I'm only going to express love to you in what I do. Don't expect any intentional verbal expressions of my love. And then you never tell her that you love her. You never tell her how beautiful she is. You never tell her how great she is and what this quality means to you. How would your wife take that? Not very well. I can tell you that my Naomi would not be very happy with me. She enjoys those verbal expressions of love. Now, when it comes to a worship service, we have the perfect opportunity to express love with our words, through our prayers, through our singing, and through our expressions of praise. And you see, without our words of praise to God, something will be missing. You know, when I said a moment ago that praise should be continual, that is, when we do something for God, that's an act of worship. Of course it is. But also, we express love to God verbally, singing, prayer, whatever it would be. And that is a very important part of worship. There is a God in heaven who deserves our intentional praise. And guess what? The church is a great venue for that, to help that happen when we come together. And in fact, I feel like we urge one another on in our worship when we're together. That this being together and all focusing in the Lord makes all the difference in the world. So the first purpose of the church, man, worship God. And that's the reason why it's so important to be a part of God's body, because we help each other to do just that. But that's not the only purpose of the church and the only reason that we need to be involved. The second reason that we need to be involved in the local church is this. The church gives believers support through life's journey. You guys, everybody will agree right here today that life can be tough. And in fact, when you get a couple thousand people together, as Lighthouse has, there's always going to be somebody just coming out of the problem, somebody in a problem, or somebody about ready to go into a problem. There's always going to be a problem somewhere. In fact, life really is a series of problems. But here's the issue. God never meant, He never meant for you and me to go through life all by ourselves, all alone. He wants you to have a church family for support. And you see that first, that family issue demonstrated, exemplified here in 1 John 3. Look what it says. We know what real love is because Christ gave up His life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. Now that sounds a lot like support, doesn't it? That sounds a lot like, man, I'm going to do what it takes to strengthen, to help, to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the Christian life is not a solo act. And it really can't happen that way. Now, some of you are loners. That's kind of how you're built. But don't ever allow that to happen in the body of Christ. We draw strength from each other for the journey that we are on. In fact, notice the Bible says here in Romans chapter 12, and since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. And each of us needs all the others. Now, some of us don't like that concept. We belong to each other? What does that mean? Well, just like you belong to each other in your nuclear family, you would say, yeah, we belong to each other. Well, that concept is just being kind of strengthened and saying, no, but in the fuller family of Christ, you belong to each other as well. We need each other. We're mutually dependent on each other. Another way of saying is that we are interdependent with each other. It's not that I'm incompetent, you know, it's not that he's incompetent, he needs help, you know. It's not that. I look around this room, I see competence, you know, oozing out everywhere, okay? You guys have a lot on the ball. But we were not meant to be rocks and islands. God didn't wire us that way. We flourish best in community. And when I say community, here's what I mean. Lighthouse is your church. But your community is the group of people at Lighthouse with whom you are interdependent. And, you know, it's just a team of people that love you, that know what's going on in your life. And they would gather together to help you if you had a problem. They're the people that you turn to who pray for you. They're the people who can speak encouragement in your life. They're the people who can kick you in the rear end if you need it. That's your team. That's your community. And God wired you and me in such a way that we fulfill the purposes of our life best in community. Now, another name for that, if you've been around church for a long time, you know this other word, it's a Bible word, it's called fellowship. And that's really what fellowship is. It means having interdependent relationships in a Christian community. And all of us need that support. Guys, I do not know what I would have done several years ago now when my high school student, John, my son, had lymphoma, and for a full year he went through treatment for lymphoma. I do not know what we would have done without the body of Christ, the people in the church that we were interdependent with, gathering around us, praying for us, supporting us. I don't know what we would have done. I've heard that over and over from people in our church. People who are sick, people who have cancer, they say, man, without the prayers and support and love of the people in the church, we don't know what we would have done. You know, a friend of my wife Naomi's several years ago gave her a little plaque, and it was about friendship, and the plaque said this, friends, double your joys and half your sorrows. And I think that's really true about friendship, but guess what? It's also true about community. If we are interdependent with people, Christians, brothers and sisters, it essentially halves the sorrows, it doubles the joys. We get to share the great things together, and that doubles what just the joy of the whole thing. But also, when we bring our hurts and our pain to each other, wow, we help each other in such a way that it makes it better. And it's not just support through difficulties either. It's support that urges me on in the faith. I think that, you know, if I start messing up, I want you to know that my Christian community would not allow it, okay? You know, if I start sporting an attitude somewhere, you know, and I start looking prideful or something like that, they would say, Art, you got an attitude, buddy. Shape up, you know. They'd probably be kinder than that, but I mean, you know, they wouldn't allow me to get away with it. And so it's not just support. It's a lot of other things as well, you know. At Lighthouse, you know something? Our primary program for helping people get connected to each other? It's not the services. You could come to these services for 5 years and never be interdependent with anyone else. The primary program that at Lighthouse here is our home groups, where you want to connect with 6 to 12, 15 other people, get to know them, get to love them, and care for them. They meet in homes throughout the community. In fact, on September 19th of this year, we will start our home groups again. And after the service today, you can even sign up if you're not involved in a home group. But I've heard many people say, well, Art, what if I already am a part of some informal group? What if I already have, you know, 6 to 10 people that support me and pray for me? You know, do I need to be a part of a home group? Well, the answer is you already are a part of a home group, all right? Yeah, okay, maybe it's not formal. Maybe we don't have it on a computer somewhere. But the whole idea is that you become interdependent with God's people. And if you're doing that, I am a happy man, okay? If you're doing that, that means that God can do something in your life through that community. If you're a part of a MOPS group, for example, a leadership group, and you work with each other over a year and you're supporting one another, well, that's great. But here's the kicker. If you do not have interdependent relationships in the body of Christ, if you don't know brothers and sisters in Christ, men and women, in your life, then you are not going to be able to follow the Lord in as good a way as you could. Now, that's two great reasons to keep involvement in church. Man, it helps me worship. It helps give me an intentional place to come and express love to God. And it urges me to do that. And secondly, it provides this beautiful Christian community that allows me to get connected with people. I can't connect with 200 people or 2,000 people, but I can connect with some people in the church and become interdependent with them. You know, the third reason, though, why you want to be involved in church, why this year are you going to give your time to God's church? Well, the church helps believers grow in faith. This is the reason probably many of you would say, well, I know about this reason. You know, this is like the main reason, isn't it? Well, I don't think it's the main reason, but it's a very important one. Look at Paul's counsel to the Colossian church. He wrote a church, a local church, and here's what he said to that local church. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What does this passage say? Well, it's pretty clear, receiving Jesus into your life is one thing. It's great. It's the thing that you have to do if you want a relationship with God. But it's not enough. After you receive Jesus, you've got to begin to walk in him. That is, according to the scripture here, you've got to be strengthened in your faith. You got to learn to become like him. You learn to trust him more and more. Now, the church is going to be able to help you to strengthen your faith. Now think about it. If we had a video camera and we could film somebody's life, just, you know, 18 hours a day, we're filming them and we're saying, okay, now we've got a year's worth of film. Let's go back and determine what looks like growth. You know, what would you actually see on the videotape that actually looks like growth? Well, there's several things. We could say it in a lot of different ways, but one of the things that you would see on the videotape is this. You would see that person growing in Bible knowledge. That is, they would be becoming more and more aware of what God's word said. Maybe we'd see them with the, you know, oh, there they are, having breakfast, reading their Bible, underlining and going, okay, God, what do you have for me today? We'd see them actually maybe be connected to a one of our Bible classes. We would see children doing Awanas or something. We could actually see those people actually growing in their awareness of what the Word of God said and being shaped by the Word of God, not just the knowledge, but letting that knowledge seep down into our heart and mind and then actually applying what we have been learning. That's one of the things that you would see on a videotape. Oh man, look at that. They're becoming more aware of God's Word. The next thing that you'd see on the videotape is that you would see a believer growing in Christian character. That is, they're becoming more loving, more joyful, more at peace. For example, here's somebody, they used to be kind of sarcastic. Every other word out of their mouth is some sarcastic remark. But now, over this year, they're learning, oh, hold it, I got to be kind to people. I don't want to be sarcastic. And so they're saying, okay, Lord, help me here. I want to be loving. And then they speak kindness to somebody rather than sarcasm. Well, you'd see that on the tape, okay? It's just their character would be changing to become more like the character of Jesus Christ. And we would see them loving where they weren't loving. We'd see them kind, perhaps, where they weren't kind. And of course, that would take intentionality for that to change. It would take that person trying to cooperate with God for that change, but you'd see it. And the third thing that you'd see on a videotape is this. You'd see people growing in Christian practices. Now, that sounds a little vague, but all I mean by that is this. If people needed to learn how to pray, they'd be learning how to pray. They'd be praying, actually. If they needed to learn how to witness, well, then you'd see them growing in that practice of witnessing. You'd see them learning to serve. They'd be, oh, look at that. They got involved in the ministry. They are learning how to serve. So those are Christian practices. And when you put all those together, what's happening? That person is learning to walk in Christ, not just receive Christ, but to walk in Christ and to grow in faith. Now, all of that really comes under the category in the Bible of discipleship. Discipleship. That's the purpose of God. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 28. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. He didn't say, make them my comfortable church members. He didn't say that. He said, no, you go and you make disciples. Urge them on the faith. And what I want you to know, this is so important, is that when you belong to a healthy church, that church is going to help you become a disciple. And why is that? Because as you become aware of your need in a certain area of life, you'll be able to look around and you'll be able to find God's people and the biblical resources you need to grow. And if you don't know how to read your Bible, for example, you look around for that class that'll help you to read your Bible. If you're having difficulty with a certain character flaw, then you find the people in your life who can pray for you and love you and help you. If you belong to a healthy church, that's what happens. For example, you say, oh man, I have a friend who needs Jesus at work. I don't know how to witness to them. How am I going to do that? Well, you look around, you find the people, God's people, and God's resources, biblical resources, here at Lighthouse, that'll help you do that. You know the thing that we always say around here is that if we can Velcro you to God's Word and to God's people, man, you're going to have the resources you need to grow. And that's the reason why involvement in a church body is so important. You're going to be challenged to grow. You're going to be supported as you grow. We all know, man, it's important who you hang out with, is it not? Is it not important who you hang out with? Well, guess what? I'm going to hang out with the kind of people who agree with Hebrews 6:1. And Hebrews 6:1 says this, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. In other words, let's not just be babies all of our lives, spiritual babies. You know, babies are cute, but you don't want them to stay babies for 10 years, right? You want them to grow. Well, spiritual babies, we become into Christ. We don't know much. That's good. No problem with that. But don't stay there, man. Leave the elementary teachings and go on to maturity, we need each other to do that. We need each other to urge one another on in the race. We need people to encourage us and strengthen us. We need the biblical resources that a church has. So, man, you're going to find the people that come alongside you to do exactly that. Now, we're talking about why be involved in church this year. Don't make it a habit, that's for sure. If you make it a habit, you'll just kind of come and you'll come to a service like this and leave, and it won't make any difference. But if you say, oh, man, God, I can continually worship the God with what I do out of a motive to love him, but I want to refocus today. I want to come to church to refocus, to express love to God and to find again, to remember again who I am in him. And, oh, yeah, I want to be involved in church this year because I can find brothers and sisters with whom I can be interdependent. I'm going to find brothers and sisters in Christ that will love me just the way I am and come alongside me. Oh, yeah, I want to be involved in Lighthouse this year because, man, I can find the people and the biblical resources that will actually help me gain what I need to gain. So those are all very, very important, and it's something that we shouldn't take for granted. Now, there is a fourth purpose, a fourth reason why you want to be involved in church, and that's just this. The church helps each believer find his or her ministry. Now, some of you are saying, well, hold it, Art. You know, are you saying that all of us need to be involved in service or ministry? Yeah. You know, you were not put on the earth to take up space, man. No way. I mean, God expects you to give something back. He expects you to make a contribution. Some of you are saying, well, hold it. I'm 75. I'm past my contributions. No, you are not. You know, some of you are saying, well, I'm only 12. I'm not old enough for contributions. No, wrong. It's not about age at all. God says, man, I want you to make a contribution. I gave you gifts, I gave you talents, and I gave you resources. And every time you can meet a need because of your love for God, that's called ministry. And every Christian needs to be in ministry. Now, that's not to say that every Christian needs a church job. You know, there are plenty of things to do in a church, and those are our places of service, which are good. I'm saying, though, every church, every person, every Christian needs to make a contribution. And God will have to show you what that is. So one day, you and I are going to stand before God. And in a way, it's a little scary, but in another way, it's so wonderful to think about. Now, we know we won't get judgment from God. We already know that. Remember, you know, we stand before God. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We'll never get judgment from God. But one day, we'll stand before his throne, and he will judge what we have done to reward us. Wouldn't it be great if we could say, Lord, here's the contribution I made. Here's the person I invested in. Here's what I did to express love for you to other people. Wow, that's what I want. I'm looking forward to that kind of day. And by the way, there are a number of things that we do here at Lighthouse to help you. We offer something called Discovering Your Shape for Ministry. It's a seminar, and sometimes it's a class that's ongoing. And Jana Peterson runs that. And man, she tries to help you to figure out what your gifts and talents and experiences and just personality, how they all work together so that you can know where you should be. Now, why would we do that? Well, look at Ephesians 4:11. It was he who gave some to be pastors and teachers. Now, why would God raise up pastors and teachers? It tells us right here in verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. It's just that simple. Think about it. What are the leaders of the church to do? They prepare God's people to minister. So it isn't as if we hire, you know, 10 pastors and then we pay them and then they get hyperactive and they do all the ministry. No. Not at all. Their job is to do whatever they can to support God's people so they can learn to do the work of the ministry. And really, that's the fourth purpose of the church, ministry. God wants his church to be active in Christian service, doing good, helping the body of Christ, reaching out to those who don't know Christ so that the whole community becomes stronger. What a great purpose. You know, how fabulous that we get to be used of God. Now, I want to read something to you that I think if you really got a hold of it, it could change your life. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ so that we can do the good things He planned for us to do long ago. Wow. Before you were even born, before you were reborn as a Christian, God planned your contribution. He planned how He was going to make you, what gifts He was going to give you. He planned the good things that you could do. You are not a mistake. The Bible says here you're God's masterpiece. Now, of course, the NIV says that you're God's workmanship, but there is an overtone in the Greek language there that really, I think, masterpiece is an okay translation. We're God's work of art. And He's saying, man, I didn't make a mistake there. You're one of a kind. And so you have a contribution to make. And again, it has nothing to do with age. Not at all. Now, our age probably does say some of what we can contribute, but there's always a way to contribute. God planned it even before you were born. And He wanted that. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 12, look what it says. There are different kinds of service. It's the same Lord we're serving. Now, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Now, guys, think about this scripture here. You know, sometimes we do all kinds of things to gain self-esteem. Well, I'll just go out there and be successful as a businessman, or I'll do this or that or the other. Hey, listen, you know what you've got already for your self-esteem? You got two things. One, would you believe the truth about yourself, please? What's the truth about yourself? You're God's masterpiece. That's the truth. You are loved and important in Christ. That's the truth. And what's the second bit of truth? He's got something for you to do. You're important, every single one of you. Yeah, you're loved. You're His masterpiece. But you're also important because He's got something for you to do. You know, so that's the self-esteem that you need, man. First of all, believe the truth about yourself and then get involved in the ways that God wants you to contribute. And all of a sudden you find self-esteem is not really an issue, is it? Because I know who I am in Christ and I know what it means to love Him and be with Him. Now, there's one last purpose, one last reason why you should be involved. We don't have much time to give it, but I want to say it's just simply this. The church works as a team to introduce people to Jesus Christ. You know, I guess the main thing I want to say comes out of Acts 20. Here's Paul's attitude. Look at Paul's attitude about telling people about Jesus. He said he told this to a group in Acts 20. But I reckon my own life to be worth nothing to me. I only want to complete my mission and finish the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to do, which is to declare the good news about the grace of God. Listen, you and I, part of our life mission is called the Great Commission. It's telling other people about the great news. Guys, you know what part of the plan for Lighthouse is? You know what part of our strategy is? We have a healthy church so that every single one of you are going out to your workplace and your community and your school and whatever it is, and you are being salt and light in that community. You're being a witness in that community. And therefore, more people come to Christ, and the community is changed. That's part of what should happen. And you know, there are three ways that we help you. You say, well, Art, why be involved in Lighthouse? There are three ways that we help you be that kind of witness. Number one, we offer seminars on how to be a witness. You know, we offer something called Discovering Your Mission, and we offer that during the year, saying, here's how you could be a witness. Secondly, I don't know if you know this, but we design our services on the weekend services. We design these services so that you can bring a friend that you've been witnessing to and have confidence that he'll come into an environment that will point them to Jesus Christ. So I hope that you lead your friend to Christ. I hope you lead your coworker to Christ. But as you're witnessing to them, you can bring them here, and when they leave, they won't say, man, that was like the Twilight Zone in there. I really did nothing. No, we don't want them to say it's like the Twilight Zone. We want them to say, oh, I kind of understood that, you know? And they will be encouraged then to explore Christianity. So that's another way in which we help. And then thirdly, we urge one another on to be God's witnesses. Because why? Anything that we don't mention very often falls in priority, doesn't it? Isn't that true in your life? You don't talk about it, doesn't happen. But when we gather together and say, oh, yeah, this is our job, then suddenly, okay, yeah, Lord, am I praying for people in my life? Am I intentionally witnessing to those people? And it raises the visibility. Listen, we do so many things out of habit. Isn't it true? That's the way we started this message. Man, habits. But friends, let's never go to church simply out of habit. Let's know God's purposes. If you can get this in your mind and heart, it'll change all of your life, because involvement in God's body will help you move forward. There are a lot of good churches in this community. Listen, if you ultimately do not learn to love Lighthouse, it's your duty to find a church that you can love and be committed to that church. And no church is perfect, you know. I always tell people that are Lighthouse, hey, we're not perfect, we're just healthy. That means we're growing. That means we're centered on Christ. It means we love each other. It's not perfect, but it's healthy. I don't know a more significant thing to do with my life than being involved here at Lighthouse. I don't. Because every minute that you would invest, every dollar that you would give, every ministry that you would serve is making a difference for eternity. 1,000 years from now, we look back and we say, okay, did that mean something? 1,000 years from now, we won't be saying, oh, wow, what a great garden I cultivated. Well, nothing wrong with cultivating the garden, but 1,000 years from now won't make any difference. You're not going to say, oh, wow, I had such a great time, on this hobby. Well, that's okay, but 1,000 years from now, the hobby's not going to mean anything. But you will be able to say 1,000 years from now, wow, I remember the time that I served that person. I remember the time that I loved that person. I remember the moments that I spent connecting with God and loving Him. I remember, 1,000 years from now, these are the things that matter. And so I want to encourage you today. I want us to pray, and I want to encourage you to just consider what God is saying to you. Why do church?
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.